You're listening to the World Teacher Programme for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our programme is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the Age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers. They work in many fields and can teach us the art of living, how to live in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace for us all.
Good morning and welcome to today's program. Last week, we read to you excerpts from a talk that Benjamin Krim gave in July 2000 in San Francisco, USA. The full edited version can be found in his book titled The Great Approach. Since it's a lengthy talk, today we'll be reading to you part two. And the excerpts from Mr. Krim's talk begins as follows. Maitreya said in June 1945 that he would come when a measure of peace had been restored, when the principle of sharing was beginning to govern economic affairs, and when the religious and political groups were cleaning house, setting their affairs in order. As soon as our minds were moving in these directions, he said he would come without fail at the earliest possible time. It was hoped that it would be in about 5 years. It was hoped in 1945 that the pain and suffering of the ghastly conditions of the war would have chastened us and led to a change of direction. But not all the nations had suffered, and not equally, and the great powers quickly went back to their old greedy, selfish, competitive, nationalistic ways of the past, the ways of Pisces.
The energies of Pisces have divided humanity because we have overemphasized the individuality that the Piscean experience has given us. Our idealism has been very narrow and self-directed, so we have become fanatical believers in our own ideal, whether democracy, fascism, or communism. Everyone believes that their ideal is given by God as a gift above all others. Likewise, nationalistic individuals believe their country is the best of all possible countries, God's gift to the world. These beliefs create the divisions and separations, the unnecessary antagonisms, the blinkers that people adopt to keep their eyes from seeing the values and qualities of other people. We have to live and interact with other people, and we can do it through cooperation or through competition. Until now, the vast majority of humanity has decided that competition is the only way forward. That belief is driving us to a totally untenable position. Today, the major expression of that tension is in the political and economic fields. Humanity is going through a great spiritual crisis, which is focused through these areas of activity and must be resolved in them. If it is not so resolved, we will destroy all life on the planet. This is the most important thing that humanity could recognize. It is a spiritual problem focused through political and economic structures.
The way forward for humanity is the realization of who and what we are. Few know who they are. No one knows why we are here, where we are going, where we have come from, and what is the aim and purpose of life. So how can we live correctly? How can we relate to each other correctly if we do not even know who we are? It has been the role of religions to teach humanity that its nature is spiritual and divine. But the churches have been eminently unsuccessful in teaching humanity. The purpose of the churches was to teach and to heal. Instead of healing and teaching, they have given us a set of rules, man-made dogmas and doctrines which they have called the Word of God, words which God, I am sure, would be very unhappy to accept as His. These dogmas and doctrines are the very things that keep humanity apart, keep religious people apart, and separate religious people from political or economic or scientific people. There should be no separation. There is no separation in life.
Life gives you political and economic problems and situations. It also gives you spiritual problems and dilemmas. We live in a spiritual world. The nature of life is spiritual. It could not be otherwise, because each one of us is the divine spark of God, the self, which reflects itself as the human soul. The individualized human soul reflects itself at a lower level of vibration as the human personality, who in any particular life is a man or woman. So all men have been women and all women have been men. In this way, human progress from early animal man and woman has been brought forward to this time for the revelation of our true nature. Few at any time know these truths, and few indeed today question the reality of the political and economic structures that we are forced to use. Maitreya calls market forces the forces of evil because they have inbuilt inequality in them. Yet, the market forces economy saturates the entire world, even the erstwhile Soviet bloc. It benefits the few at the expense of the many, and that is why it is evil. Its mechanism is commercialization, and Maitreya calls commercialization more dangerous to humanity than an atomic bomb, because it is insidious. We do not even see it happening. Yet the tentacles of commercialization now penetrate the whole of our existence.
Medical care is a service that all nations should provide for their people. It is an essential part of human life, like food, shelter, and education. These are the fundamentals, the services that all people in all nations need. Yet at the moment, there is no country in the world, not even the USA, probably the richest in the world, in which all these pertain as universal rights. They should be universal rights, but if you look at the world as it is, as Maitreya sees it, you see two worlds. You see the developed world, the G8 nations and a few more, usurp and waste 3/4 of the world's food and 83% of all other resources, so that the developing world has to make do with the rest. They have more than 2/3 of the world's population, but have to make do with 1/4 of the world's food and 17% of the other resources. And as a result, they die in their millions.
1/5 of the world's population, around 1,200 million people in the developing world, are living in official, absolute poverty. And that means they live on less than $1 a day. They live miserable, stunted lives, deprived of all we take for granted. More than 30 million of them are actually dying of starvation in a world in which there is no shortage of food, a world with a huge surplus per capita. That is the reality for the people of the developing world. That is the day-to-day reality for millions of people when we shut our eyes to it. Maitreya says in message number 11, "How can you watch these people die before your eyes and call yourselves men?" And in message number 52, "The problems of mankind are real but solvable. The solution lies within your grasp. Take your brother's need as the measure for your action and solve the problems of the world. There is no other course." We have a solution that is so easy. Maitreya says we must see ourselves as one, brothers and sisters of one humanity under the one God. Therefore, the food, raw materials, energy, and science of the world belong to everyone and should be redistributed more equitably around the world.
In July 1977, Maitreya descended from his mountain retreat about 17,500 feet up in the Himalayas, and he came down to the plains of Pakistan. Maitreya stayed there for some days to acclimatize himself, and on the 19th of July he entered London, England. He remains in the Asian community of that city, which he calls his point of focus in the modern world. And from there he directs his energies to all parts of the world in a highly scientific fashion, which only he is able to do. He is awaiting an opportunity to come forward and declare himself openly to the world as the world teacher. Not as the Christ, not as Maitreya Buddha, not as the Imam Mahdi, as he awaited by Muslims, not as Krishna, as Hindus await him, or the Messiah, as he is awaited by the Jews. These are all names for the same individual, the head and leader of our spiritual hierarchy, who age after age has presented humanity with this link with the spiritual kingdom, hierarchy. The hierarchy is the kingdom of souls, or the spiritual kingdom. In Christian terms, the kingdom of God. These men are not gods, but they are God-like men. Everyone has the total potential of divinity within them. The masters are not different from us. The only difference between them and us is between the Christ and the Buddha or Krishna and ourselves is that they have demonstrated the divinity at a level which astounds and inspires, while we are way down the ladder of evolution, awaiting the time when we can do the same thing. It does not happen by waiting, only by actually doing it. All of us, whether we know it or not, are engaged on a path of evolution which eventually will make everyone a master. It is inevitable. It is part of our destiny as human beings.
The next destined step for humanity is the creation of right human relationships. That means the demonstration of our ability to live in peace. If we cannot live in peace, we cannot live at all, because a war today on a major scale would destroy all life. So the first step into right human relations is the creation of conditions of peace. Maitreya says this is simple, but there is only one way in which we can produce peace, and that is to create justice in the world. Without justice, there will never be peace, and without peace, there will be no world. So how then do we get justice? We share the resources. There are more than enough resources for all the people in the world. When we share, Maitreya says, we take the first step into our divinity. Sharing, he says, is divine. Freedom is divine. Justice is divine. These are all divine aspects. And as Maitreya says in message number 81, to manifest his divinity, man must embrace these three. Sharing, justice and freedom are the wellsprings of our life. We must demonstrate them in the world, not just as ideals on the emotional plane that we can feel good about. We have to manifest them. We see everywhere, if we care to look, the pain and anguish of countless millions of people who have nothing to eat, nothing to give their children. Can you imagine if you had no money to buy food for your children and you saw them wasting away, starving to death in front of your eyes? It is an appalling thought, but that is the day-to-day experience of millions of people.
The people of the world are beginning to make their needs known and are pulling down the Berlin Wall and the Berlin Walls of all the developed nations, demanding their right to eat, to work, to bring up their children in peace and in decent circumstances. These demands will grow. Maitreya will emerge and stimulate and potentize these demands of the people until there is no government on earth which can stand against these demands for freedom, justice, and right relationship. If the next distant step is for right human relations, it has to be brought about. It can only be brought about when people make it happen. It is not an idea which automatically takes place. Maitreya says in message number 31, nothing happens by itself. Man must act and implement his will. The vague idealistic individual thinks we have the ideal. If we have the ideal, it is already there. Well, it is not. There is little liberty, equality, and fraternity in the world. They are only ideals. And until we make those ideals factual on the political and economic levels, then we have failed ourselves and our brothers and sisters. We have failed our time, and the time for this change has come.
When Maitreya emerges, he will begin to teach, but not as Maitreya or the world teacher, not as the Christ or the Imam Mahdi or the Messiah, which he could claim to be, because that indeed is how we see him. He wishes only to be called the teacher, because he says, if I am the Christ to Christians, what about the Jews, Hindus, Muslims and Buddhists? If I am Maitreya Buddha to the Buddhists, what about the Christians, the Jews and the others? These are man-made terms, and they confuse, blind and cause dissension. He says, do not run after me. Do not try to claim me and put me in your pocket, otherwise you will lose me. He does not come for individual religious groups. In fact, he is not a religious teacher per se. He is a spiritual teacher, an educator in the broadest sense of that word. He has come to educate humanity about its own nature, to show us that we are divine, that every single person is the divine spark which connects us with all cosmos. This is an inner reality. He comes to inspire humanity to reveal that reality and to become like the masters, not only potentially, but actually divine.
How do we develop these divine qualities? Maitreya says, we are already divine. We are an immortal being, the immortal self, he calls it. The self equates with God, the divine spark, the monad in theosophical terminology. Our difficulty is that we identify with everything and anything other than that self. We do not even know who we are, so how could we possibly live together properly? So we live according to certain ancient precepts of competition, greed, and selfishness as the norm. But they are not normal. We are neurotics living abnormal lives at the end of the civilization of Pisces, in ways which could destroy all life. That will not happen because Maitreya and his group of his masters, 14 so far in the world, they believe and they ought to know that we are ready to change, to make it sure. Through the laws of cause and effect, we are bringing about the events that will drive us to change and accept the principle of sharing, because we will have no alternative.
And that, unfortunately, is all we have time to read from Benjamin Krem's book, The Great Approach. You can find that and many other books on the website share-international.org, which we encourage you to visit. Thank you very much for listening to our program. And if you'd like information other than what's on the website or would prefer to email us, the address is sharenz@yahoo.com. And we'd like to wish you all a lovely week.